First of Chronicles 29.
David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and tender, and the work is great for this palace, this temple, is not for man, but for God. Well, yes and no, that's true, but God had said to David, I don't want this temple, because I don't live in houses made with hands, I live in the hearts of people. But David insisted on going ahead, it seems, so okay, God went along with it. Just like he went along with Israel having a human king. And God at times will go along with what you really want, but you're making your path to the kingdom more difficult, and that's what the temple did. It's what having a physical human king did. Now, David said, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold, for things of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, onyx stones, precious stones. In addition, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, since I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver, I give that to the house of my God, above all else that I have already prepared for the holy house. So he said, I set my affection on the house of my God. Well, that is really how we should be, that we should set our heart, our innermost desire, on the house of God. Now, what is the house of God? These days, the house of God is God's people, because he doesn't live in a physical temple. There is no physical temple. But the house of God is God's purpose, God's ways, and that house that he promised to build David, of men and women who would live eternally. So the things of God and his kingdom and the body of Christ, that is, those others who will be in God's kingdom, that should be the number one affection of our heart. And you see how David didn't leave all his wealth to his kids, actually. He left it to the work of God. Even though, as I say, I think he was a bit misguided in his obsession with the temple, yet, all the same, he did set his affection on the things of God, and God accepted that. And that's just how we should be. And then he says, when he's made all this dedication, who then offers willingly to consecrate himself this day to Yahweh? Then the princes of the tribes and the captains with the rulers offered willingly. So if one person offers willingly, it inspires others to offer willingly. And it says that they offered willingly. And we're told in Corinthians by Paul that God loves a cheerful giver. And he says you must give willingly and not be of some sense of necessity. So we shouldn't give grudgingly, thinking, so I had this money saved up and now, well, I suppose I better help that poor brother or that poor sister. Now I can't buy that toy that I was hoping to buy. Now I can't buy that whatever it was, clothing that I was saving up to buy or whatever. God doesn't like that. He loves us to give cheerfully and joyfully, because that is how he gives to us. So they also gave precious stones, gold, etc. Then the people rejoiced because they offered willingly, because with a complete heart they offered willingly to Yahweh. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So there is joy in giving. This is, of course, what the world cannot understand, that you can be joyful through giving. Their idea is that your joy is through buying things or getting things for yourself. But here you read about great joy because of their great generosity. Therefore, David praised Yahweh before all the assembly. Yours, Yahweh, is the greatness, power, glory, victory, and majesty. All that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, Yahweh. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand is power and might. It is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. So that is the point, that God owns all things. And it's a bit mythical to think that we, in some sense, have our stuff that we give to God, and we give him a bit of what we have got. No, all that we have comes from God. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. That's what you've got to remember. Of your own have we given you. That's a verse to remember. Of your own have we given you. Of your own have we given you. Repeat that over. That we have given you what is yours anyway. So it's not that we're giving to God, it's rather that we're giving back to God. For we are strangers before you and foreigners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is no remaining. So we're just passing through anyway. We're just here for a very short time. And what we're given by God materially is for us to use and look after whilst we're here on this earth, and we're not here for very long. Might seem that life's long, but it's not at all. It's just a shadow that passes. And that's another thought that helps us to be generous. Yahweh our God, all this store that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. So then God looks at people's feelings and their motives, especially when it comes to money and giving things. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. Now have I seen with joy your people that are present here offer willingly to you. Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and prepare their heart for you. So God is willing to work directly on the human heart, to give us a mind that loves him if we are open to it. Give to Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. David said to all the assembly, now praise Yahweh your God. All the assembly blessed Yahweh, God of their fathers, and bowed their heads before Yahweh. They sacrificed sacrifices to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings. Even 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs. Well, David said after he was forgiven over sinning with Bathsheba, you don't desire sacrifice. You want a broken and a contrite heart. So I think, 3,000 animals being offered, I'm not sure at all. That was what God wanted. And I think David slipped back in his understanding there. They made Solomon, son of David, the king the second time, and anointed him to Yahweh to be prince and Zadok to be priest. Solomon sat on the throne of Yahweh as king instead of David his father and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. So then Solomon sat on God's throne. God was still the king because he was the king of Israel, but any of the kings were just ruling for him. And all the princes submitted themselves to Solomon. And Yahweh magnified Solomon greatly in the sight of all Israel. David, son of Jesse, had reigned over all Israel for 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, 33 years in Jerusalem. He died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon, his son, reigned in his place. Now the acts of David, first and last, are written in the history of Samuel the prophet, in the history of Nathan the prophet, and in the history of Gad the prophet, with accounts of all his reign and his might, and the circumstances which he and all Israel experienced, and those of all the kingdoms of the surrounding countries. So we definitely look forward to seeing David in the kingdom, although he wasn't perfect like we're not perfect, really look forward to seeing him resurrected.